Now, Socrates then proceeds in his dialogue by asking Euthyphro a question about this response. He says to him, "Well, you think that something is wrong because the gods say that it's wrong or decree that it's wrong. But would they, what if they were to not decree that it was wrong? What if they decreed something else? Could they decree that it was wrong for some other reason than that it was wrong? What if they decreed that it was wrong, not because it was wrong, but for some other reason?" So he says to Euthyphro, "So you've got a choice here. Either they decree that it's wrong because it's wrong, or they decree it for some other reason. Do they decree it for some other reason?" Euthyphro says, "No, they don't decree it for some other reason. That would be strange. I mean, how could God... God's not going to decree that that murder is wrong for some other reason than that murder is wrong, is he? I mean, that would be very peculiar. Why would God decree that murder is wrong?" And Euthyphro answers, "Well, obviously he decrees that it's wrong because it's wrong. Okay, so why does God decree or command us that murder is wrong, command us not to murder? Because it's wrong. So God sees that it's wrong, and because he sees it, he commands us not to do it." Okay, now as soon as he says this, Socrates goes, leaps on him and says, "But then your definition is wrong. You said something is wrong because of, in virtue of the fact, the gods disapprove of it. But now you just agree with me that gods disapprove of it because it's wrong. So it can't be that it's wrong because the gods disapprove of it. Rather, they disapprove of it because it's wrong." So what Socrates is doing is saying to Euthyphro, "You've put the cart before the horse. You've got the things the wrong way round. You say things are wrong because the gods decree that they're wrong. But no, that's not the case. The gods decree that they're wrong because they're wrong." That's the way Socrates deals with this point. Now let's expand on that and get a bit clearer about what's going on in that argument. What Socrates is basically saying is this. Surely we don't want morality to be arbitrary. We don't want anything to turn out to be right or wrong just depending on somebody's arbitrary stipulation. So if we look at God's stipulations, his arbitrary decisions, we certainly don't want to say that God could stipulate that murder was right. If God could stipulate that, then morality would be completely arbitrary and would not deserve any respect. So God's not going to stipulate that murder is right. Why wouldn't God stipulate that murder is right? Because it's not right. Since it's not right, we'd be a bad God who stipulated it was right. So it's not that God is arbitrarily making these stipulations, and as a result of these stipulations, we get the morality that we have. Rather, God must be himself responding to and be sensitive to what's actually right and wrong. So God can't be the basis of morality. God must be somebody who respects morality as it is, independently of his own stipulations. Because otherwise, morality would be entirely an arbitrary matter. So the point he's making is simply this. It's not that murder is wrong because God says it's wrong. It's because God says it's wrong because it's wrong. And that's exactly what we would expect. If God said it was wrong for some other reason than that it was wrong, why would we listen to what God said? We want God's sayings and decrees to respect what is right and wrong. But then right and wrong is logically more foundational than God's decrees. Okay, so putting it very simply, right? God cannot make murder right tomorrow. If God were to suddenly change his stipulations tomorrow and say, "I've changed my mind, murder's right after all," we would say, "Well, what kind of God is that? We don't want that." So God can't change his mind. He can't make murder right or wrong by stipulation. He can't make it right. He can't make it wrong. His commands are only sensible insofar as they respect the way morality is itself. Otherwise, morality would be arbitrary and pointless. So God isn't the source of moral truth, the basis, the foundation of moral truth. God reflects moral truth. And that's what we would expect, that God reflects it. And of course, thinking of it psychologically, surely what happens in our conception of God is that we have our prior ideas about what's right and wrong, and we know that God is good, so we suppose that God follows our prior ideas of right and wrong. We don't have this idea that we have no idea what's right and wrong, and we have somehow insight into God's decisions, and that tells us what's right and wrong. That's not the way it works. The way it works is we already know what we think's right and wrong, and then we look at God, and then we read into God that, and we say, well, God respects right and wrong, and of course that's what we would hope that God does. Now, this has a very important consequence, of course, because if God isn't the foundation of morality, in the sense that he doesn't make things right or wrong, then even if there is no God, that doesn't detract from morality, does it? That's what we conclude from what we've said so far. If God were the foundation of morality, and if God didn't exist, then morality would collapse with him, right? If God were dead, then morality would be dead too. But if morality doesn't depend on God, then if there is no God, or if one has those suspicions, then that doesn't mean you're now in risk of losing morality. So if you become a doubter, then suddenly you're somebody who now no longer can make sense of the idea that stealing is wrong and murder is wrong, because God never was the foundation of those beliefs. God was always the consequent to those beliefs, not the basis of them. So the thing that people are very often worried about when they're worried about whether God exists, and they think, well, if there's no God, then there's no morality, actually is a confusion, and it's not something you need to be so worried about. Even if there is no God, that doesn't affect morality, because even if there were a God, God isn't the basis of morality. So this is a very important point to understand. As I say, the basic argument was given over 2,000 years ago by Plato, but it hasn't sunk in to people so well as it might, and I've been trying in this lecture to make it sink in. In the next lecture, we will get on to the question of the relationship between morality and happiness.
This ends Lecture 6. If you borrowed this course from a public library and would like your own copy of the course guide for future reference, call Recorded Books at 1-800-636-3399, and we'll send you a free copy. A shipping charge will apply.